Welcome to Induction Vault, a production of iHeartRadio and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony is about to begin. It's time to take your seats.
It may come as no surprise that deep down, even the most legendary musicians of our time are music fans just like the rest of us. And this episode of Induction Vault gives us a touching example of mutual appreciation and adoration among the greatest blues guitarists on the planet. Blues legend Buddy Guy has had a tremendous influence on the sound of guitar-based rock and roll for over a half century, with admirers such as Jeff Beck, Jimi Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan, and many others. When Buddy was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2005, B.B. King and Eric Clapton were there to welcome him to the club. In true blues form, B.B. King improvises a short but sweet tribute to his old friend, while Eric offers a well-crafted, carefully composed speech to honor his hero, whom he has famously declared the best guitar player alive.
To induct Buddy Guy, please welcome Rock and Roll Hall of Famers B.B. King and Eric Clapton.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. They usually reserve the place for the oldest and the ugliest to speak first.
Go ahead.
I don't have a prepared statement about George Guy. Oh yeah, Buddy Guy, excuse me. Buddy Guy's been a friend for a long, long time. He's been inspiration for many, many, many people, including myself. I never was as handsome as he is. And I think Lucille liked him better. Anyway, I'd like to say, to have known him as many years as I have, I don't want to say how long because I hope to get married again one day, and ladies should know how old I really is, then I won't make it. But I've known him for a long time. When I first met Buddy Guy, I met him with what I call the godfather of the blues, and you blues lovers should remember the great Muddy Waters. But I'll say this, and then I'll move over for the handsome one. When it comes to being a great person, Buddy Guy is that. When it comes to be a great guitarist, Buddy Guy is that. He's a good friend, and he's been a friend to most of us. I didn't have a prepared statement, as I said, to read, but I think my friend here, and I'd like to say this where you can hear me, the number one rock and roll guitarist today is my friend right behind me, the handsome one. And thank you. And he played blues better than me and most of the others. But I think that Buddy Guy is very close second to him. My friend. Rock and roll.
You get me in a lot of trouble. You done. B.B. King, you got something to say?
Yeah, I got something to say. I'm behind back here.
Good evening. It's a great honor and a privilege to be able to induct this distinguished gentleman into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, a man who means so much to me personally and who, as a musician, has given so much to us all. It also provides me with a perfect opportunity to say thank you for all the inspiration he's given me over the years. His style of playing and singing and his love and concern for the welfare of the blues has been a great example for me and countless others who have the good fortune to share this road. My first experience of Buddy's power was when I brought a record called Folk Festival of the Blues, a live album recorded in Chicago in the 60s. And in the company of such great artists as Otis Spann, Muddy Waters, Howling Wolf, and Sonny Boy Williamson, Buddy did far more than just hold his own. With the greatest respect to all those fabulous masters, in my humble opinion, he stole the show. Coming from the back of the field like a thoroughbred racehorse, he shone through that genius ensemble, taking no prisoners and letting everyone know that he was the new dangerous kid on the block. It is still one of the great albums, debut albums, by any artist in any genre, and it started me on a relentless mission to find out who this man was and what else he had done. I gradually discovered a wealth of recordings, mostly on Chess Records and mostly singles like Stone Crazy, My Time After a While, and First Time I Met the Blues. Serious blues anthems with incredible productions, which would often feature various members of the Chess House Band, great players like Little Walter, the Myers Brothers, and Willie Dixon. Aside from his own recordings, which became musical milestones for me, I also found him on countless other artist records, people like Otis Rush, Muddy Waters, and Little Walter. And no matter how great the song or the performance, my ear would always find him out. He just stood out in the mix, simply by virtue of the originality and vitality of his playing. And beside the music, another point for me at that time was that he was a younger blues musician in a field totally dominated by much older guys. And on that level alone, I could identify with him completely, as well as admiring his skills. There he was, standing alike beside the masters of his craft, holding his own and confidently pushing the blues into the 20th century. Buddy personified all that the modern blues man needed to be. His technique was and is unique, fueled by the Delta and the more recent urban contributions of Robert Lockwood and Muddy Waters. He combined these ingredients with the sophisticated phrasings of T-Bone Walker and B.B. King and blasted them all into his own personal vision of what the blues ought to be saying right now. And I remember in 65 when he first came to England and played at the Marquee Club, and I was finally able to see him in person. In the flesh, he was earth-shattering. His style on every level was fantastic, doing all the things we would later come to associate with Jimi Hendrix, playing with his teeth, his feet, and behind his head. He brought the house crashing down. But beyond all that, it was his actual playing that got through to me. With only a drummer and a bass player behind him, he gave a thundering performance, delivering the blues with finesse and passion in a way I had never heard before. And incidentally, started me thinking that a trio was a pretty good lineup for a band. All in all, everything about that night was deeply profound for me. The blues was clearly alive and well, and it looked good too, for as well as being the real thing, musically, Buddy was a star. His suit, his hair, his moves, his sunburst strat, everything was sharp and perfect. He was, for me, what Elvis probably was for most other people. My course was set, and he was my pilot. Since those early days, Buddy has become the hardcore reality of what the blues is supposed to sound and look like. Not, I think, through any calculated need on his part to be accepted, simply because that's the way it is and that's the way he is. Buddy has been solid in the heart of the blues for more than 50 years, touring, recording, and spreading the word. And somewhere in that journey, we became friends. Whenever I was in Chicago, I would drop by the club and play, or just hang out and shoot the breeze. Well, over the years, we played many, many times together, but it seems like I always forget how powerful and soulful his thing is until he cranks it up yet again, and then it all comes back to me. And I go straight back to the Marquee Club, my jaw drops, and I become a helpless, ecstatic teenager all over again. For that and for keeping it true, I thank you, Buddy Guy, and I welcome you to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
After the break, we'll hear from Buddy Guy on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Induction Vault.
That's a Muddy Waters song, saying, I got a black cat bone. It's black. I got it. And to be in company like this tonight, I'm just out of words. I just want to play for you. look at this. To be standing here and got to pick up a guitar and get between these two guys and play, man, you got to be me to know how I feel tonight, man. You know, this is no small task, and I'm just happy. And I want to thank Mr. West and Silvertone and the record company for putting up with my shit. I haven't made a lot of records that make a lot of money, but I make a lot of records that, if you ever listen to it, it's something I say might fit you. Like, you damn right I got the blues. I remember, Eric, when we came out of Australia and you had a rock awards here in New York, and we had Bo Diddley, and somebody asked him, what was the blues? And he said, Mr. Donald Trump got the blues. I said to myself, wait a minute, he got to explain this. He said, yeah, he got the blues because he got to keep it, and I got the blues because I got to get it. And that's been sticking with me ever since. If you don't think you got the blues, just keep living. And if you don't think you get drunk, just keep drinking what you're drinking and thinking what you're thinking. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to play a little blues for you. All right? Thank you.
For joining us on this week's episode of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Induction Vault. For more on your favorite inductees, to shop inductee merch, or to plan your trip to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, visit rockhall.com. Plus, view the 2020 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Induction Special on demand on HBO Max. Our executive producers are Noel Brown, Shelby Morrison, and Risa Gerke. Supervising producer is Taylor Chacoin. Research and archival assistance from Isabel Kiefer and Shannon Erb. Thanks again for joining us on this week's episode of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Induction Vault. Induction Vault is a production of iHeartRadio and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.